says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth into the land of Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said, "Unto thy seed will I give this land," and there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai, or that's the same word as Ai, which we discover later in the book of Joshua, on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now then, turn over to Acts. And chapter 7, and this is the testimony of Stephen before he was murdered. "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran," or it says Charon, but it's the same as Haran, "and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come unto the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, and dwelt in Charon. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land, wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as set foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil for 400 years. Now, as you put Stephen's testimony concerning Abraham together with what we read here in the book of Genesis, it seems quite clear that there was two times that the Lord spoke to Abraham. One time he spoke to him when he was in Ur of the Chaldees, or in the midst of Mesopotamia, which was, of course, Babylon. And we know in the Scripture that Babylon is often mentioned. Of course, Babylon was the city where Nebuchadnezzar ruled, and the Lord brought him down to eat the grass of the field like an ox. And then we read about Babylon the Great in the book of the Revelation, where it says that she is the great city, the great whore that's judged of God, that all the nations of the earth have had relations with, and that he will judge this. Well, the Lord called Abraham, who was at the time that the Lord first came to him, he was in Ur of the Chaldees. And then he moved from Ur of the Chaldees into the land of Haran. And his father Terah went with him. And then the Lord spoke to Abraham again. He was Abram at the time. While he was in Haran, which was on the outskirts of Mesopotamia, and he said to Abraham, get thee out of this land unto a land that I will show thee. And so he brought Abraham out of the darkness of Babylon to the outskirts of Babylon, and then he brought him into a place of possession. But you know, it's an amazing thing that Stephen said that Abraham never possessed it. The Lord promised it to him, but he never got it. Now, that's interesting. And when you go and you read and you see that Abraham never did. He never had any land. He was there. He was right all around it and on it. He even had to buy a piece of ground to bury his wife on. Remember, he bought the cave of Machpelah because he didn't own it. But the Lord gave it to him. The Lord said, it's your land. But he had to buy it. Now, there's so many things in this, and I don't really know where we might begin, but I do believe that we can see quite clearly that the Lord called Abraham. There are two callings of Abraham. And I believe that these are likened unto this. That there is an election of the people of God. Now, when did God begin to love the people that He chose? That's a question no man can answer. Because the Scripture doesn't tell us anything other than that it was from before the foundation of the world. Now, we know that God alone is eternal and all things have their beginning in God, so we do know that all these things did have a beginning in Him. They haven't just always been because they have been. They've been because He made it to be so. That's a very important distinction. And I believe it will keep men from error if they understand that completely, or if they at least have that as a basis upon which, when they look into the mysterious things of God, there's nothing that is co-equal with God. There's nothing that shares eternity with God. God inhabiteth eternity. He doesn't share eternity with men. We have immortality because He gives us immortality. We don't somehow or other, it just kind of trickles down to us, or we get it some way because we've always had it. No, we had a beginning, and so did all things pertaining to men or anything that we can see, taste, touch, or feel. All these things had a beginning. Now, their beginning is in God according to His purpose and His timetable and whatever. We don't have any idea what all God has done. I mean, people look at the universe as we can see it with a telescope, and they keep being able to see further and further and further, and they just say, oh, what a wonderful thing. This is just a speck of what God... I mean, this is not the sum total of what men can see, not the sum total of what God has made as far as... I don't know. He may not have made anything else, but it's presumptuous of men to think that that's all that He did do. I don't know what He's done. That's all He's shown us. That's all we can be concerned about. But the immensity of God is far greater than the universe, because it's just something that He made because it seemed good in His sight. And so, it pleased the Lord to call His people, before they ever had any knowledge of it. Before they ever had any thought process concerning it. Because you see, God calls those things that be not as though they are. If God says something, it is. He spoke and He said, let there be light. And there was light. He spoke and said, let there be a people that I love with an everlasting love. And there was a people because it pleased him. And so he called Abram. While Abram was still in the darkness of Chaldea. Now, some have opined that Abraham was among those that were the true worshipers of God, and well, he may have been, but we don't have any proof of that. We don't have any knowledge of it. As far as we know, he might have been just some pagan guy, may have been worshiping false gods. We don't know anything about Abraham when he was there. But you see, it doesn't make any difference where a man is. If the Lord sets His love on him and He calls him by the power of His grace, then that's all that matters because He's going to bring him out. And so we see that Abraham had a call that brought him out of the darkness and into the place of Haran, but then I believe a greater revelation of the mercy of God to Abram was not bringing him out of Ur of the Chaldees into Haran, but it was when the Lord called him and said, come out from the land of your fathers and from where your family is and come over here to a land that I have given you. Now this was a land that Abraham had never seen. A land, according to what Stephen's testimony is, that he never possessed. Now, the men of this world, they're always wanting something concrete. That's what gives rise to most false religion that calls itself Christianity. Because it's something that men can get a hold of and they can say, well, here, we've got this. Come down here and you'll see somebody's leg made longer. And buddy, you won't have to wonder whether or not God's real. We'll show you. We'll cause His leg to be longer. And you'll know God exists. Now, the people that do that sort of stuff are usually very careful as to what it is they pick and choose that they're going to do. You know, I mean, if a guy's got an arm cut off, they're not going to say, well, come down here and we'll grow you another arm, because they know they're not going to do that. But now they can make somebody's leg look like it gets longer and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not making fun of the fact that, listen, brethren, God heals people's bodies. But there is nothing lasting about the health of these bodies, because I don't care how healthy you are. It doesn't make any difference how many diseases you've been delivered from. The fact of the matter is that your body is going to fail. It is. It's just made that way. The Lord said to Adam, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. It is appointed unto men wants to die, after this the judgment. So, there's nothing more temporary than healing of the body. And yet, some people place the greatest of emphasis on it. Oh, we know God's real because I had cancer and now I don't have it anymore. Well, and the Lord said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. But there shall no sign be given it, no real sign, no true sign be given it, except that which is the prophet Jonah, that the Lord was in the belly of as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, so the Lord would be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights, and He would be raised from the dead. Dear brethren, that's the sign that we seek. That's the sign that we rejoice in. Signs and wonders, the Scripture says, shall cease. Now, I believe in the scriptural sense and the apostolic sense, they've already ceased. Now, I don't believe that, there's no such thing as a miracle, because God, He can perform miracles anytime He gets ready. But it's not a common thing. I mean, you know something, think about it. People go around talking about, we're going to see miracles. Well, it wouldn't be a miracle if you can predict it. I mean, if you can predict a miracle, it ain't a miracle. I mean, a miracle is something you've got no explanation for. Can't be figured out. I mean, it's just what God does. And indeed, there are miracles. I believe there are miracles. There are things I can't explain. Wouldn't try to. But I know this, that if these eyes never see a miracle performed by somebody doing some hocus-pocus stuff or whatever, it doesn't make a bit of difference in the world to the fact that the truth of God is the truth of God. And the only sign which the people of God seek is the sign which is found in Christ as the Savior of sinners, as one who triumphed over death and who rules and reigns. But so, we've been called to possess a land, but we can't see it. Paul said, the good that I would, I do not. And that which I would not do, I do. I mean, we've been called to lead a victorious life. How victorious is your life? Now, I hear all these people talking about all this victory and stuff they have and all that. I look at them, they don't look any different than me. I mean, if you're born of a woman into this world, you are born into trouble. And the possession of the land that we have is not a triumph over all the troubles of this world. Paul said, I sought the Lord 3 times to have this thorn in my flesh removed, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. I believe God's grace is sufficient for all of God's people. And you see, I believe that's the lesson that He would teach us. Now, indeed, we have overcome the world. But we've overcome by what? What's the Scripture say? We overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Dear brethren, our victory is in Christ. Our victory is not in those things that men see. Now, that doesn't mean that there are not things that appear in the lives of the people of God as He works in them both the will and to do of His good pleasure that manifest themselves. He said to the Corinthians, he speaks about fornicators and homosexuals and all of these different degradations of the flesh, and he says to them, and such were some of you, but God hath delivered you from it. God does deliver people from things. But He doesn't deliver people from the flesh. He said, I didn't come to take you out of the world, but to be with you in the world. He didn't come to cause us to be angels in the world, but He came to be our Lord in the world. And so He does indeed work in His people. And so He called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. I believe that's representative of the fact that He called a people His own when they were yet in darkness. They were yet without form, without void. You see, the people of God were the people of God before they were ever born in flesh and blood. But then He called Abraham with a call that was unmistakable. Now, why on earth did Abraham listen to Him? Have you thought about that? I mean, here's Abraham. I don't know how the Lord spoke to him or appeared to him. Maybe there was a voice came from heaven or a sign up somewhere. I don't know how He spoke to him. I'm assuming he spoke an audible voice. But maybe He didn't. Maybe He came to him in a dream. I don't know. But He said to Abraham in some fashion, get thee out of this country. Now, why was it that Abraham heard him? Why was it that having heard him, he believed him? Why was that?
He was born again.
The Lord said it when he talked to the Pharaoh, when he was speaking about the sheep. He said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Now, there wasn't any persuading to it. God didn't say, "Now come on, Abraham. Please, won't you just give me a chance? Just receive my blessing, Abraham. I'll bless you, Abraham, if you'll let me." No, he didn't do any of that. He said, "Abraham, get out of this country to a land that I'll show thee." And we don't read that Abraham said anything. But we do see that he left that country. And when the Lord calls a man, you see, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. When God calls, His people hear Him. Now, a lot of people hear the same message. See, people get to thinking about, well, here's somebody declaring the truth of God. And one man believes it and another man doesn't. Well, what's the difference? Well, the difference is it didn't have anything to do with the preaching. It didn't have anything to do with the message that men were saying. What it had to do with was the call of the Spirit of God in the operation of the Holy Ghost in causing the man to be awakened from the deadness of his sin and to hear the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
And to believe it. Abraham, the Scripture says, believed God. Why did he believe God? Well, I just decided one day I was going to believe God. Brother, listen. I mean, you hear people around you saying they just decided to believe God. No! A man can't decide to believe God. Because the only way that a man will ever believe God is if God gives him faith. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. That literally means hearing by the power of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Lord does call His people by His Word. He doesn't need a man to stand up and say these words any more than He needs a tree to have leaves on it. He does indeed use the preaching of the gospel through the lips of men. But the calling of men is not by the lips of men in the gospel, but it is by the Spirit of God in the constraints and the work of the Spirit of God in the heart of a man. And that's exactly what happened to Abraham, because Abraham wasn't a bit different than anybody else till God called him. And then he made him the father of many nations. How did Abraham plan to obey the father? Abraham's a father of many nations. He's 75 years old, doesn't have a child. And the Lord comes to him and says, "I want you to get out of here." He said, "Well, Lord, why aren't you the same one that told me to come out of Ur of the Chaldees? And we came over here to Haran, and I ain't heard from you since." And the Lord said, "Get out. Because in the day thy people shall be willing, in the day of thy power." When the Spirit of God moves upon the face of the waters, something's going to happen. And when the Spirit of God begins to call, the people of God begin to answer. "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." Do you hear Him? I mean, is this all, when we talk about the Word of God, is it just like, well, it's all right. It's not that I disbelieve it. You see, one of the things that happens a lot of times is people don't disbelieve the Word of God, and so they think they believe it. They think because they don't fight against it, that they believe it. We don't have any evidence that Abraham was fighting against God. But we do have evidence of the fact that he did believe God. And so, there is, dear brethren, a work of God wherein a man is made to believe God. Now, I often, in conversations with people, people will tell me, oh, I believe in God. Well, that's good. I'm never opposed to somebody that believes in God, are you? But I sometimes tell people, well, you know, that's good, but even the devils believe in God. I mean, and on top of that, they're fearful. They believe and tremble. They know God's not their buddy. They're one step ahead of most folks. Because just believing that these things are true, that doesn't mean anything. But you see, Abraham believed God. How do we know that he believed God? How do you know that Abraham believed God? Because he moved. Exactly right. He did exactly what the Lord told him to do. He moved out from the place where he was. And so, Abraham is the exhibit of faith, but he's not the exhibit of his faith. He's the exhibit of the faith of the Spirit of God, the faith of God's elect. That faith which is the gift of God bestowed upon men. And he said to Abraham, I'm going to show you a land. Abraham didn't see the land. And he said, I will make of thee a great nation. Didn't even have a son. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. How was it going to be? I mean, the Lord, do you understand everything about the things of God? I mean, when the Lord says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Do you fully understand that? Do you even fully believe that? Do you even fully grasp that? No, I don't. I don't have any knowledge. I often wonder, how on earth can anybody believe this stuff? I mean, if you look at the scriptures, are you amazed that people read this and say, that's a bunch of hogwash? Huh? Are you amazed at that? I'm not amazed at it at all. I don't see how people can believe it. Because I know this, I wouldn't believe a word of it. Apart from the grace of God. Because to the natural man, it's a constant source of chafing. It's a constant thing. It's not what I want to hear. I mean, when the Lord says, love your enemies, you like that? Oh, buddy, that's what we've been wanting to do. Boy, I'm glad we can love those that despise us and use us despitefully. I'm glad that now we can pray for them. Now we know that it's all right. I've been wanting to do that all the time. Huh? No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do anything Christ said to do. Because everything that's fun to the flesh is that which we find that's not the best. So no, I'm not surprised people don't want to believe this. I'm not surprised people reject Christ. I'm not surprised at all. What's amazing is that any of us believe it. Because by nature, as Brother Tim pointed out this morning, by nature we're going contrary to the way of God and we won't believe these things. We don't want to believe these things. And we're certainly not going to just fall into it. But it's going to be by the sovereign grace and mercy of God displayed, and even as He called Abram out of Haran, He called His people out of the darkness and into the light. And when they have seen that light, they can't ever say, I don't know anything about it. You know, they talk about people that follow the Lord, and then they they go away and walk no more with Him. Well, what's wrong with them? Because they never saw the light. They never saw the glory. Now, a lot of people can learn how to be a Christian. You can learn how to be a Christian. And if a bunch of your friends is being Christians, then you want to be with them. And so it's easy to become a Christian in that respect. But unless and until a man believes God, having seen the glory of Christ, by the operation of the Spirit of God to reveal to him what He is and who the Lord is, then he's not going to believe these things and follow these things. But once he has seen that, he's like that Ethiopian eunuch. He says, man, I mean, it's like opening up Christmas presents on Christmas morning. He sees the truth of God. I mean, can a man come along and convince you that Christ is not who He said He was? If God's given you faith, they can't. Can't do it. It can't be done. Can't be overturned. The work of God cannot be overturned. I will make thee a great nation. I'll bless thee. I'll make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that curse thee. I will bless them that bless thee. Curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. How did that occur? Now, Abraham, he lived, I think it was 120 or something when he died. But he died. And realistically, he didn't have a whole lot of influence on much. I mean, his people, the children of Israel all went into Egypt, didn't they? And they went, then they all ultimately became in bondage. They just became a bunch of slaves. I mean, the nation of Israel wasn't any great big nation in the earth. Never has been. Never has been. I mean, even in the days of David, they had the enemies around them that were greater than they were. And more constant source of problem to them. So how is it that the nations of the earth will be blessed? Did he mean that because of the Jews that the Lord would bless the earth? Now that's what the Jews think. The Jews think, oh, well, it's a privilege for you to have us in your midst. I mean, that's how they think of it, isn't it? They go about to establish their own righteousness. They say, we're the chosen people of God. A lot of people try to prop them up as being so. But how did the blessing, what's the Lord talking about here when He said to Abraham, I'm going to bless the nations of the earth through you? Because you see, He said down here, He said to Abraham, unto thy seed will I give this land. Now we read over in the book of, I believe it's in Galatians, Paul said, and the Lord made the promise unto Abraham and his seed, not as of many, but as of one. Because you see, the promise of God was not specifically made to Abraham, but was made to the one who would come as Abraham's seed into the world, even Jesus Christ the righteous. And if you read in Psalm 2, it says, ask of me, and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And who is he speaking of there? Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Who's he speaking of there? Not speaking of King David, but he's speaking of one who would occupy the throne of David forever. He's talking about that one who is the King of glory. He's talking about that one who would possess the land that he's talking about that's promised here.
It's not dirt. It's not boundaries that men can set up and look at and say, well, here's this little sliver of land over here, and this is it. This is the promised land. No, that wasn't the promised land. That was a carnal land of promise, but it wasn't the promised land. It's not the promise given to the seed here. It's not that which the Lord said to Abraham, unto thy seed will possess it. He said, you won't possess it. Abraham never possessed it. He died. Lived in tents his whole life. Never built a house. Why? Didn't have any land. Well, wait a minute. The Lord gave him the land. No, the Lord never let him occupy it. Because He wanted him to know that it wasn't flesh and blood. The kingdom of God is not flesh and blood. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. Men by learning can't find out God. They can't by their own efforts come to the Lord. But by the mercy and grace of God, He calls them. And they hear His voice. And they rejoice in the day. You see, when they see the one who is the promised seed, that one in whom all the prophecies of God have their fulfillment, that one in whom all the glory of God rests, He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And He has came and dwelt among us. And we have seen Him. We've seen God face to face and we have lived. Because we have seen Christ. The Lord has seen fit to show Him to us by faith. And though Abraham never possessed one grain of sand that he could go down to the courthouse and file a deed on, yet he was that one to whom the promise was given through him to the promised seed. Even Jesus Christ the righteous. And He has possessed the land. You see, Christ has possessed the land that was promised to Him. And He wasn't interested in dirt. But He came to possess that which is His. Which is a kingdom of righteousness. He said that He would present a bride to the Father, faultless, before His Father's throne, because it's His. And He said, it's my possession. And I've come to claim it. And He paid the purchase price. And just like the Lord called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, and just like He called Abraham out of Haran, the Lord calls His people by the work of His Spirit. And He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart. He said, hey, if any man thirst, let him come and take of the water of life freely. He said, I am the bread of life. If any man eat thereof, he shall never hunger, shall never thirst. Because you see, He is the promised seed. He is that one who is the elect of God. You see, our election is in Christ. We talk about the elect. Who's the elect? Christ is the elect. We have our election in Him. He said, these are my people. They belong to me. I love them. I give my life for them. Do you hear His call today? He calls His people. Calls them by name. He said, come and follow me. Every one of His disciples stood by, walked on the seashore, and He said, come and follow me. Scripture has no record that any of them said, no, we got too much fishing to do. No, the Scripture says they left their nets and they followed him. Such is the work of grace. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. I can't fathom it. It's beyond my understanding how God in His mercy can open the heart of a man and cause him to call upon Him in the day of his trouble. But thank God that He does, because otherwise we would all likewise perish. May the Lord help us.